Hi, and welcome to the New Hope Youth NFL Podcast. We had last week off, getting ready for this week coming up ahead. And it was an exciting week. Some really crazy games, some heartbreaking for some teams, very exciting for others. Exciting and heartbreaking is fantasy as well. We'll get to that, how it went. Really quickly, just to finish off the preseason, notable news for us, Gus Johnson, who we've been following, who we like, got signed to the practice squad for Dallas, which we thought he would. And so if the other running backs go down, he may move up. But at least he's playing. At least he's still got a chance. And then notable news from the offseason that we didn't cover, everybody's talking about how good the Philadelphia Eagles were. They scored like crazy this preseason. Maybe like three times more than their opponents, like 150-something points to 50-something points. So they did really good. That's all the noble news. We covered all the injuries and everything. Yeah. So the thing that happened after preseason, but before this regular season, was the fantasy draft. And the league that Spencer's in a couple. I'm only in one. We're both in the same New Hope League. And this is the first year we had 15 people in the draft. Normally it's about 10, maybe 12. But just adding those extra people up to 15, I don't know about you, Spencer, but I found it pretty brutal.
15's a lot. It's a lot of people.
And we did a snake draft, like most are. So if you don't know what that is, you have the order 1 through 15 in the first round. Then second round, to help make it more fair, you go 15 to 1. Then third round, 1 to 15. Fourth round, 15 to number 1. So it flip-flops to kind of give, you know, people, if you draft late in the first round, you still make it up for getting the draft early in the second round.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like it almost makes it harder.
If you're at the front?
Sometimes, yeah, because there's so many good players. Mm-hmm. There's different tiers of players. Just there's like tier 1, tier 2. And it's almost like there's enough players through round 1, you can get a tier 1 player, but then...
Yeah.
You can still get a tier 1 player at the beginning of the second round, but maybe not the last end of it.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of like, I want to be at the back.
Yeah, because you get the draft super close to yourself every time, and you're kind of hitting those tiers better. Because not realizing that our league rules changed to one of those leagues we talked about where quarterbacks don't score as many points, receivers and running backs score a lot more. It's a points per reception league. I drafted Andrew Luck first, which we'll see. He can... maybe rectify himself. He didn't have a great week one, but I drafted a quarterback first. And then second round, by then it was hard even to get just a good receiver, a good running back. I got a receiver.
What pick did you have?
I had like the fourth or fifth pick out of 15. Okay. So by the time it got to the second round, fifth to the last pick, Julian Edelman was the best receiver available. And he's pretty good, but I mean, that's a lot of superstars ahead of him. For he's real. Not the guy you think of who you want to get.
Yeah.
And it's just really rough. Megan got Dez Bryant first, which would be a great move, except for he got injured. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So really quickly, here's how I actually do this. Go through your. You want to go through your team first?
Yeah, I'll go through.
Go through the New Hope League and tell us who you drafted and how. And yeah, it's who you drafted. We'll get to how they did in a little bit.
All right. Okay. Well, get to my team here. All right. Well, in the first round. You know, I was thinking running back.
Yeah.
And the next best running back was C.J. Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not the greatest idea to go after him. I mean, but luckily, whenever it got back to the second round, I was close enough to where I could have another pick back-to-back, and nobody had picked Aaron Rodgers left. So I was pretty lucky.
Yeah, you scoop him up. Because even if this league isn't as quarterback-heavy as years past, it's still Aaron Rodgers. So good call.
Thank you. And I've got Andre Johnson, Sammy Watkins, Delanie Walker, tight end, Heath Miller, tight end, Rams defense, and Cody Parkey. Would you like me to say my bench?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, and I've got Melvin Gordon, Joe Flacco, Darren McFadden, Brian Quick, Bengals defense, and Greg Zuerlein.
All right, and here's how I did. My very first pick was Andrew Luck, who I thought would be really good, and I believe my second pick was Julian Edelman. And then by the time for my third pick came around, the best running back available, who was decent last year, but people didn't reforecast as well this year, was Justin Forsett. Not exactly kind of the star name you want. But then I ended up with the rest of my team rounded out. I got Doug Baldwin as my second receiver, Travis Kelce for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then this week I played Anquan Boldin as my third receiver. Then I had the Seahawks defense in, and Dan Bailey as my kicker. And on my bench, I had the Broncos defense. I had Teddy Bridgewater. I had Terrence Williams, wide receiver, Darren McCluster, who's labeled as wide receiver and running back, Brent Celek, the tight end, then Robbie Gould, the Chicago kicker.
Your team did really well this
week. My team did really well. We'll get to the results of that in a minute, but mine did pretty good. Spencer's and Megan's.
No.
You got lucky because you played Megan and y'all had the lowest two scores. Megan had a pretty decent draft. I'm going to mention hers, even though she's not here. And because you hearing it, you think it'd be good. Up front, her original running back she had in was, we didn't know, injured, I guess, when she drafted him. We're going to injure in that training camp. So she played Reggie Bush. But she had, you think this might be a good team. She had Russell Wilson, Reggie Bush, who, okay, is not the greatest running back, but he might get you some points. Dez Bryant, obviously good. Roddy White, who's in that really good Falcons offense. Greg Olsen, the tight end for Carolina. Kendall Wright, the receiver for Tennessee. The Texans defense, you know, you get points for sacks and takeaways. They had a ton of both of those last year. Then Steven Gostkowski, who is one of the highest scoring kickers there is. And that's her main people. And then on the bench, she had Spiller's the guy who got injured. Philip Rivers, who's a really good backup quarterback. He might be your number one. Reuben Randall, the wide receiver. Jordan Reed, Washington tight end, who's pretty decent. The Packers defense, and then Rennie Bullock, the Houston kicker, who, by the way, was the first kicker to miss an extra point in the new extra point rules.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because they're kicking from 33 out. So
I had him last year.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I mean, he's good sometimes. He has a leg, but he just kind of, I don't know if he just loses concentration. I don't know what the deal is.
I have no idea.
But that was how the draft went. And then the week happened. And it started off with, it will be quick because we got a lot to talk about, the Patriots and the Steelers. They're at New England. And the score is much closer than the actual game. Were you able to watch it at all?
Oh, yeah.
We don't have cable, but I can either watch it on my computer or we'll go to either my parents' house or Megan's parents' house. We were over at my parents' house watching it, and, man, it wasn't even that close. Do you have any thoughts to take away from the game?
What was the final score?
The final score was 28-21, but, man, it was not even that close during the game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Notable people... Gronkowski, three touchdowns, all just monstering it in the end zone. Brady threw four total touchdowns. Kind of a rainy game. A little bit of controversy with the headsets, and the Steelers have trouble communicating because they're getting the Patriots feed. The Patriots have, we all agree, probably cheated at some point. This wasn't it. The radio equipment is controlled by the NFL and the NFL crew at the stadium. And really, if you think about it, even they weren't able to communicate. If they're getting Patriots stuff, I mean, they might be getting like some of like their names for play calls, but they probably still know what sluggo means or verts, or I mean, there's probably still some common language to where like, oh, hey, they're blitzing this play, or hey, they're running a wheel route. Like, you think that almost be advantageous, but they complain because they couldn't communicate. It's not the Patriots' fault. But yeah, I think the Patriots dominated that game more than the score indicates. It's pretty crazy. And then Sunday happened.
Sunday.
Yeah, the first full day of games, very exciting.
Got all excited.
I was only able to really watch one or two, a little bit of the Denver game, then the Dallas game. My second favorite team, Texans, I listened to on the way back from traveling, and it was a frustrating game to listen to. do you have any thoughts on that Chiefs-Texans game?
Well, I mean, they were doing terrible with Hoyer in. Ooh. And finally, they decided to put Mallett in, and he goes off and...
With like 8 or 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Bunch. Oh, yeah.
And just for hearing the radio guys, and just firing bullets, looking good. And here's, I think, a telling stat. After halftime, the Texans' defense held them to 0 points. I think they're getting really good pressure. Clowney finally played. He sounded like he did good. He collapsed the pocket. He held the edge really well. J.J. Watt, I think, got 2 sacks, one without a helmet. If you look at the first quarter is the Texans had 2 field goals. No, I'm sorry. They had 6 points. Sorry, I'm used to seeing 6 points as field goals. That was a touchdown. Rennie Bullock just missed the field goal. The Chiefs had 14 points. And the way they got those points, I listened to the radio and was horrified each time driving back. The first one was a pick six from Hoyer, his first offensive play.
I don't remember that.
And then the next drive, he got tackled and fumbled the ball, and they recovered right there in the end zone in a quick score.
Goodness.
So they spotted them 14 points up front. If you look at it, the game's only decided by 7 points. The Kansas City Chiefs may have scored those anyway.
Yeah,
but they may have stopped them. Who knows? They only scored 13 more points after the first quarter, and those two offensive possessions for the Texans. So yeah, Hoyer just, I can't say looked bad because I haven't seen it, sounded from the radio play, just awful, making bad decisions, making bad throws. Yeah, and Bill O'Brien, the head coach, has said he's not going to announce a starter until basically they let whoever run out into the field next week. But if it's not Ryan Mallett, then I start questioning how awesome Bill O'Brien is, because he seemed awesome in Hard Knocks.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hard Knocks wrapped up, of course, right beforehand, and it was a really good series, really good Hard Knocks this year covering the Texans. But, man, you got to figure it goes with Mallett. They had a spark. They were stretching the field. He could actually throw it.
They scored.
They actually scored legitimate points, and not just just so much better. I'm going to skip this one out here because we're going to go in more chronological order. We'll get to this game, but I'm right here. I'm looking at the very end. Really quickly, Packers and Bears, I wasn't able to watch or to hear about it. So it could be not as close as a score suggested. I mean, it's still nearly a 10-point win, but the Bears were not great last year. Not figured to be very good. I mean, their number one draft pick got injured, a wide receiver, which they really needed.
Yeah.
But it's Packers 31, Bears 23.
I was very surprised.
That's closer than I thought. Yeah. If you look at here, it says top performers. I don't know how they figure out top performers. But the top performer, I guess is that for Chicago? Because they have Jay Cutler there. Surely he doesn't have better stats than Aaron Rodgers.
They didn't even win.
But Aaron Rodgers threw three or four touchdowns?
Yeah.
They still, maybe not quite as dangerous without Cobb, but still obviously they reloaded. They got that new receiver, James Jones.
Yeah, I think he was there last year, actually.
I don't even remember who he is. I don't even know him. But he caught two touchdowns. Mm. But Packers won. People thought just not as much of a blow as they thought. The Jets were not good last year. Really hurt the Browns 31-10. Of course, their defense apparently looks a lot better. Johnny Manziel had to come in. He did have a touchdown, but he also had two fumbles. So he had trouble protecting the ball. A big score. People thought the Bills had reason for optimism. Their defense was going to be good. Their defense was great last year. They got Rex Ryan as their head coach now. He's a great defensive guy.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit beforehand. It really seems like, and I feel like, it's a lot easier for the defense to kind of click and shake the rust off after preseason faster than the offense.
Yeah.
Because the offense is so much just timing-based and getting the routes and just the feel between the quarterback and the wide receiver.
Yeah.
And with defense, it feels like you can kind of get back up to your normal, mid-season form sooner. Jeez. Even still, people weren't expecting the Bills to beat the Colts 27-14. Mm. Shut them out in the first half. I had Andrew Luck, who I thought was going to be really good, and he was decent, but not great. They really pressured him.
I had their kicker in my other league.
Yeah.
And he scored absolutely zero.
Just not good. And no one is expecting Tyrod Taylor, the Bills quarterback, to be as good. And of course, it's tough when you get a wholly new quarterback. There's no film on him, no tape. People can figure them out.
Yeah.
But he looked really good throwing the ball and running the ball. So we'll see how he does. But yeah, that's kind of a surprising just how the Bills went about doing it. Dolphins beat the Redskins 17-10. That's kind of what you expect. Nothing right home. Panthers beat the Jaguars 20-9. Okay, that's fine. Those two teams, the Battle of the Cats. Here's an interesting game. This was kind of an upset.
Oh, yeah.
The Rams played a very competitive division, but they had moments last year where they looked pretty good. I mean, they didn't win the division or anything. They're up and down, but they had kind of moments. And they got Nick Foles from the Eagles. And the Rams won 34-31 in overtime. The key play, stopping Marshawn Lynch on 4th-and-1. They remembered the Super Bowl and decided to run it. But, hey, look, it shows you can stop Marshawn Lynch for 1 yard. You have any thoughts on that game?
I didn't really watch much of it, but I was rooting for the Rams, honestly.
Yeah, aren't we all? I'm tired of the Seahawks, but
definitely.
And they got burned several times by Nick Foles. Of course, Cam Chancellor isn't there. Mm-hmm. He's holding out for more money. Byron Maxwell went to the Eagles, so he lost a couple of guys, and suddenly this could be just a 1 week fluke. And much like last year, it's hard to read too much into anything week one. I should have thrown that beginning, because last year week one the Cowboys lost horribly to the 49ers. Tony Romo threw three picks. They couldn't stop him at all. They tried to rally, but still lost really badly. And then they went on to win six or seven games straight and ended up winning the division and winning a playoff game. And teams that did awful last year, like the Titans, you know, who got the pick, the second pick, started off the year really great. Mm-hmm. They did again this year. We'll see if they can sustain it, but it's sort of based too much off week one. But just from what we could tell, the Rams look like they might be the real deal and look like they might be pretty good. Next, Cardinals 31, Saints 19. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a play from that game that I will bring back up when we talk about the Dallas game. Right. And play calling issues.
I don't believe I saw it.
I didn't see about it, read about it. Okay. Yeah, we were aiming. You know, I got kids. You don't have NFL seat, Sunday ticket. We're not professional. Yeah. We don't get to watch every game, but we can watch what we can. Chargers at Lions. Man, Chargers down most of this game and rallied back to beat the Lions 33-28. Phillip Rivers had 404 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm thinking Megan might should take him off the bench and put him in next week. Russell Wilson's good, but then I got to chunk it like he does. Man, surprise game here. Number one pick was Jameis Winston from Florida State, who won the Heisman last year. Then the Heisman winner this year was the number two pick, was Marcus Mariota. They played each other. Apparently the first time a number one pick, number two pick, both quarterbacks played each other week one.
Showed up number one.
Number two, who I liked, but I'm not the biggest Jameis fan anyway.
Yeah.
He's just kind of careless, and I don't think his football IQ is super great. I think they played a really simple offensive system at Florida State, and of course in college, I mean, there's so much difference between teams, and they got so many lucky games. If you look at the games they won by, like, 3 points or less, it's really hard to win all those games without – it's hard to sustain that. I mean, there's definitely a luck factor.
Yeah.
But, man, the Titans, 42 to the Buccaneers 14. First-half touchdowns for Marcus Mariota. That is crazy.
That's awesome.
He did so good, they pulled him, in the third or fourth quarter and put in their backup to keep him healthy.
Good.
And I watched the highlights of this. Some of the game stuff, and he just looks sharp. I mean, they might not be running the most intricate offense, but the coach, Ken Winston-Hunt, they kind of did some like Oregon looking plays from where he went to college, some kind of read option stuff, some kind of quick passes. But man, he threw some long passes too. He had a really just super accurate arm, throwing some small windows in the infield. And man, I think he looked really good. We'll see if he can sustain it. I think pretty much everyone put a waiver claim in for him on fantasy.
Oh, that wouldn't.
And we'll see. And who knows? Part of that maybe because they played the Buccaneers, who were the worst team last year.
Yeah.
Playing a quarterback whose very first pass was a pick six.
Really.
And threw maybe another. I think maybe threw another interception at some point as well. You know, could not keep their defense off the field.
Kind of funny.
They just blew him out. Bengals Raiders 33-13. Bengals won. That's whatever. Okay. Actually, the season this game, a weird defensive struggle. Broncos beat the Ravens 19-13. People thought Peyton Manning may struggle a little bit just because he's a little bit older, and his Gary Kubiak's offensive scheme is not necessarily suited to him. But hey, they won. People forget that the Broncos aren't just Peyton Manning; they have a really good defense.
Yeah.
And that's what won the game for them. And the big news there is Terrell Suggs, who's kind of the heart and soul really of that defense, towards ACL, is out for the season. So I think that's really going to hurt the Ravens down the stretch. Any thoughts on that game?
At what point did he get hurt, Suggs?
I don't even remember. I didn't see when it happened. Some point in the game. I think it's second half. I don't know.
Man, that's just...
You have to see anybody get injured. Even on teams you don't like, you feel bad. So
yeah, that was a pretty close game.
And then we'll hit Sunday night game, which was our Dallas Cowboys at home beating the Giants, a game that they statistically dominated, if you look at time of possession, yards, all that stuff, but had to squeak out a 27-26 win. And a lot of people are blaming clock management for the Giants, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
Their play calling on third and one, why throw it? And you should run it, at least run the clock out. That's why I was in the Arizona game. Arizona was trying to come back and beat the Saints.
Yeah.
And like a really critical play, I can't remember if it was third down or fourth down, short yardage, Bruce Arians, the head coach, decided to go like a big pass play. And it was a 55-yard touchdown. But you don't see a lot of people afterwards. The Grantland NFL podcast pointed this out. A lot of people afterwards weren't like, he was too aggressive. He shouldn't have thrown it there. They should have been conservative. No. If you get a touchdown, then it's absolutely the right call.
Yeah.
So I don't really mind the Giants being – if you're a Giants fan, I wouldn't mind them being aggressive. Yeah. If liking that play or not really comes down to it's outcome-based. Mm. If he scores a touchdown, that's a brilliant call. If he doesn't, that's a dumb call. And even if he has fallen down taking the sack, that would have run off a bunch of time. And, you know, all these people say, oh, if they just, you know, taken this much more time off, the Cowboys wouldn't have won because they only scored 13 seconds. Well, the Cowboys may have called different plays if they had less time. So it's hard to tell how much time he gave them, how much time they had gone down the score. But the probability does drop, I guess. But the Cowboys played, well, may have played it differently. But, man, the Cowboys, their opening drive took, like, nearly 10 minutes, maybe over 10 minutes. The running backs looked decent. Randall got the majority of the carries, even though I think McFadden may have looked like extra hair better, a little more pop to his step.
Yeah.
Before we get to the injuries and stuff, do you have any general impressions from the game?
No, just that it was awesome.
It's awesome they won, but I felt like it felt like a loss to me afterwards. We played so sloppy. The turnovers, which you know, Beasley fumbling it. I mean, that's kind of happened. It's kind of sucked. What happened where it did? They scooped it up for 6 points.
Yeah.
The other two interceptions are really the receiver's fault. I mean, the Witten throw was not great, but I mean, it did hit him in the hands, and he kind of bobbled it. He could have caught it.
Yeah.
The other one, Street. I mean, he was holding on to him, and that was definitely Street's fault.
Yeah. We can't blame him on Romo.
No, the Romo was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He actually threw it a ton of times. He was 36 for 45 in attempts, and then 356 yards and 3 touchdowns, not including those 2 interceptions, which really weren't his fault. So Romo looked sharp, and he's the reason they won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, I think, looked good for most of the game.
Yeah.
I think they had a couple slip-ups and errors and stuff, but they can iron that out. Really just I think the Giants played, you know, fairly well. They weren't expected to be good. If you compare like the potential of the Giants to potential of the Cowboys, the Giants played closer to their potential. Because the Cowboys should be a much better team. They have much better personnel, all that stuff, but just a sloppy game that caused it to be that close.
Yeah.
So I was, not to say that they shouldn't have won, but I mean, it was, man, it they may not have won.
It was rough to watch.
The leading receiver, oddly enough, was Lance Dunbar. He kind of became their, like, receiving running back. They used a ton that last drive.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He ran it a ton. He looked pretty good catching the ball, not necessarily running it.
Yeah.
Randall looked decent. He was 16 carries for 65 yards, which is, it's all right. McFadden only got a couple of carries. But I think McFadden, to me, obviously you can say Randall did better because he had more yards, but he had a lot more carries. I think McFadden has maybe looked a little bit better when he's kind of hit the holes better and had a little bit more kind of just burst to it. And we'll see. I think Randall's pretty much going to be the starter, but the really big news for Cowboys fans going forward is Dez Bryant broke a bone in his foot, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks at least. I mean, some of those can take a little bit longer. I mean, luckily, Williams has shown flashes. Williams is really good. It's a 30-year guy of Baylor. I mean, he made some spectacular catches last year. He's the reason we got that 3rd and 20 in Seattle, had that, you know, that barely in bounds, you know, hit, got both feet in right the sideline catch to beat to help beat the Seahawks. Hit that really long touchdown in the first half to finally get his points against Detroit in the first half of that playoff game. He's shown signs of being really good. We have Dez Bryant gets most of the targets, and Williams is not quite as polished. It's going to hurt us, but we have Jason Witten, who was the best receiver really last Sunday night, caught the touchdown passes, really great route runner. We have 3 pretty good running backs. I mean, I think Dunbar, you're going to see a lot more of him being a receiving check down, kind of receiving guy. And they even split him out wide a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I think Randall McFadden will only get better, I think, as they kind of gel behind this offensive line. So we're not going to be as good as we could be, but I don't know if it's the cause to lose all hope.
Yeah.
Especially seeing how amazing the Philadelphia Eagles were in preseason. Well, we saw them come to earth a little bit last night. So Cowboys going forward, crazy win. A win's a win's a win. You take a win, but man, it did not feel super great.
Yeah.
Last night, well, I hit the late one first. Nothing to really talk about. 20-3, 49ers over Vikings. Only notable thing really is that Adrian Peterson didn't do well.
Yeah.
He might be rusty from taking a year off from playing football.
It was tough to watch. Like, the first half was so boring.
Really, I didn't really get to watch it. It was like 7-0 at the half.
Took forever to score.
So kind of a blah game. The other game, though, I got to watch the first half and then kept up with the second half on my phone pretty much every play-by-play.
Yeah.
The Falcons held off the Eagles, their furious second half comeback, 26-24.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Falcons, their defense was way better. They had one of the worst defenses last year. They got the new head coach, the guy who was the defensive coordinator for Seattle. Now their head coach really helped them out. Their defense looked way better, slowing down the Eagles, who were supposed to be the high-flying. At one point, the NFL did hashtag Legion of Zoom, which is dumb. But the Eagles only scored 3 points in the first half. Second half, they came out a lot better, scoring 14 in the third, 7 in the fourth. But, I mean, a defense who looks better but probably still not as good as other defenses in the league held them fairly well. The Eagles' offense looked better in the second half, but were pretty rusty and not good the first half. Do you have any thoughts on this game?
I was going to ask you what you thought about DeMarco Murray that game.
That's the thing. Murray did not have many rushing yards at all.
Yeah.
He had like an 8-yard touchdown run and then like a 5-yard receiving touchdown.
Yeah.
I think one of those maybe came off a turnover. They had short field stuff. So, yeah, he had 2 touchdowns, which looks good. But he did not rush much. Of course, they split the rushes a lot between him and Matthews. Mm-hmm. Actually, they have 2 guys named Matthews that are running backs.
Well, they got the wide receiver Matthews.
Okay, maybe getting mixed up. I know there's at least Ryan Matthews is a running back. They have another running back. And they play such an up-tempo style. They play where you don't really allow for substitutions. So they keep the same guys in the field, so that way the defense can't substitute.
Yeah.
So it happens that there's a critical play like a 3rd and 1, and you think Murray should be in there, left the other guy in because they wanted to hurry up and get a playoff without substituting anybody, so the defense couldn't substitute. But even without that, they threw way more than people thought they would. Sam Bradford threw it 52 times.
He did pretty good.
He did pretty good. He had 1 touchdown, 336 yards. But, I mean, he only had 36 completions out of the 52. So his completion percentage was not great. He looked better in the second half. He looked a lot better in the second half.
Yeah.
First half, they didn't look that great. And, of course, it could be just them trying to not clicking and stuff. Of course, you know, a lot of times you can tell who's the better coach team because in the second half adjustments really make a difference for some teams. The coaches really figure out what to do. And Chip Kelly's probably one of those guys. But the Eagles don't look like the juggernaut world beaters they looked in preseason. Everyone's like, oh, they outscored this team 50-something to 3 in the preseason game. It's preseason. No one's really doing anything there.
Yeah.
So I was kind of reading the NFL Reddit page, the Cowboys Reddit page, the Seahawks Reddit page, and all the Seahawks fans, not Seahawks, sorry, the Eagles Reddit page. A lot of them were like, oh, man, New Orleans really rusty, but looked a lot better in the second half. So we lost, but now we're really clicking, and Dallas looked awful. I was like, well, I think the Eagles looked rusty in the first half. I think the Cowboys looked rusty the whole game. And I think once the Cowboys whip it into shape, we should still beat them. I think we should still beat them. Byron Maxwell got burned a couple of times. You know, he got a big payday because he was the really good guy from Seattle. Kind of showed you, it really helps to have a really good whole defense around you. And so it's kind of funny. There's a meme going around of him in Seattle. It says, like, this is Byron Maxwell and with DirecTV. Mm-hmm. And him in the Eagles uniform with, like, a really, you know, dumbfounded look on his face. He's got burned. And it's, and this is Byron Maxwell and he with cable or whatever. You know, it's pretty funny. That's kind of how it went. Cowboys play Eagles next week in Philadelphia. Keep our fingers crossed because, man, Eagles fans are obnoxious. Looking at our fantasy teams really quick, we're getting kind of close on time. How did your matchup go? And we'll skip it to we can kind of briefly talk about your other league, but mainly the church league. You won in your other league, right?
I did win in my other league,
which has a different point system.
Yeah, they score a whole lot more.
So who'd you have in that league? Just a couple of the highlights.
My Yahoo league. All right, I have my quarterback is Matt Ryan. Then I've got Julio Jones, Kendall Wright, Eddie Lacy, Andre Ellington, Travis Kelce, Brandon Marshall, Adam Vinatieri, and Arizona's defense.
Not a bad a team. What was your final score?
My final score... Hold up.
It's going to be a lot more than the church
teams. Oh, yeah. I had 176, and the other guy was 146. So
that's a good win.
It was kind of going into the Falcons game, I was losing 100. To 140, ended up scoring 70 more points.
Ooh, yeah, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones did really well last night.
Mike Wallace playing that week also.
Okay. And how'd you do in the church league?
In the church league, I didn't do well, but I got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Played your wife.
Yep.
And her team just did worse.
Yeah, both of y'all had bad weeks, but her, she had several injuries that really hurt her and just bad performances.
Yeah, I just didn't have anybody that really went off. Aaron Rodgers had 22 for me, and Delanie Walker had 13. My Cincinnati defense had 11. That's really all I had to help me out.
And Megan, you know, Wilson did okay at 16 points. That's not That's decent, but not great.
Rivers would have helped out. Oh.
No, she had C.J. Spiller, who apparently was injured and did not play at all. He had 0 points. So she put in Reggie Bush. He got hurt. He had 0 points. Des Bryant got hurt. Only 9 points. Did Greg Olsen get hurt, or did he just not play well?
I have no idea. It doesn't say anything about him.
Yeah, I don't think he got hurt. He just didn't have a very good game. And so hopefully he'll do better next week. But he had 2 points, one catch. Her defense was Texans, who, you know, you get points for sacks, you get points for turnovers, which they had a lot of last year, only had 2 points because they gave up so many points. Her kicker, yeah. Gostkowski, who used to score a ton of points, only had four. Yeah. Randy Bullock, who missed an extra point, had 7 points. So she had some points left on the bench, so she could get better. I'm actually trading her. We made a deal to trade some receivers since she's had to take Des Bryant out for a while. So she can get better, but it's pretty rough. My game, I did fairly well. I think I have room for improvement because my running back in my flex position did not do great, and I have some guys that scored better I can move in. Yeah. But I won 120-78. Andrew Luck had 19 points. He looked decent, but not great, but 19's not bad. Justin Forsett, running back for Baltimore, only 9 points, and just Julian Edelman had a lot of catches, not a ton of yards. I mean, decent amount of yards, no touchdowns, but had 20 points for me. Doug Baldwin, the Seahawks receiver, had 10 points for me. Mm-hmm. I had Travis Kelce as well in this league.
He went off.
28 points in this league. Anquan Boldin had 7 points. Seahawks defense had 18. They gave up 34 points, but they had lots of turnovers and scores. And then Dan Bailey had 9 points. But I have Terrence Williams waiting on the bench. I should have put him in instead of Anquan Boldin anyway. But now he's about to be the number one receiver for Dallas. So I'm going to go and slide him in. And Robbie Gould for the game, for the Chicago had 14 points as a kicker. I may slide him in as well. So we'll see. I'm now going to start tweaking. You never know week to week how that's going to go. So we both won opening week of our fantasy teams. Yep. I looked last year. I was like 3 and I can't remember how many weeks there are in fantasy anymore.
I think there's 13.
But I won only 3 games last year. So I'm already off to a decent start. I've won 1/3 of the games I won last year. So really quickly, let's hit up some key games predictions. We're going to guess the betting lines. It's kind of the way Vegas does it. So, you know, if someone's a favorite, it means they're like negative 6 points. It'd be like, I think Chiefs negative 6, which means they're 6-point favorites. Mm-hmm. It's weird the way that works. We're going to guess just that total outcome score. We're just going to guess like, oh, these are 7-point favorites. These are whatever. And so I'm not going to do all the games. I'm just going to do a few quick games. I don't think you've seen the schedule ahead of time. I've not seen the schedule ahead of time. The only teams I know who are playing are Cowboys and the Eagles. So I'm going to hit a few key games of some of our favorite teams. Broncos and Chiefs. Thursday night game. Both won. Chiefs, I don't know if it's a combination of Houston's offense being bad and giving them a lot of points, or the Chiefs are really that good. But the Chiefs overall looked kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Against a Broncos team who won but kind of struggled. I'm turning this so you can't see the line. I don't think you can see it anyway. So what do you think the line is on that one?
-3 for the Chiefs. How would you say that?
-3 for the Chiefs. Yeah, that means they're 3-point favorites, basically.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's pretty close. I'm going to say -5. I think the Chiefs are -5. It's weird to say they're the favorites, but I think they are because they are in Arrowhead Stadium. Yeah. The line, -3. You won that one. So good call. Oh, the Chiefs are -3.
I did not see that.
Sunday noon game. The Texans are at the Panthers.
Okay.
Panthers won this last week. Of course, they only put the Jaguars. They're not great. What do you think the line is?
I think the Panthers will have -10.
They're the 10-point favorites of the Texans? Oh, man. I'm going to go lower. I want to say the Texans would be the favorites, but of course, I got to take my bias out of it. If I'm looking at Vegas odds. They're playing in Carolina. The Texans looked not that great. Even if their defense was, I don't know, it's tough to say with all those turnovers.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Carolina by 5.
Oh, 2 fives.
And the line is Carolina by 3. So I was closer. So I got that one.
Right.
3:25 game. Cowboys at Eagles.
Oh,
gosh. It's tough because it's there. Both teams, Eagles barely lost, but maybe looked a little bit less rusty. The Cowboys barely won, but they lost Des Bryant. What do you think the line is going to be?
Cowboys -7.
Cowboys 7-point favorites, the touchdown favorites. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Cowboys -3. I think it's be really close. So Cowboys, oh, no, Philadelphia is -5.5.
Oh.
So kind of between a touchdown and that. Some other notable games. Here's going to be a good one. Patriots at Bills, and the Bills looked really good. Their defense looked great. Their defense looked good. Their offense looked pretty good. Patriots obviously looked good. What do you think the line is there?
I don't think the Bills are going to be able to beat the Patriots, so I'm going to go with -9.
-9 for the Bills? Oh, -9 Patriots.
Yes.
Yeah, I still Patriots think the win. Patriots would still be the favorite. Surely you'd think. I'm going to say Patriots -6. Okay. And the line is even. Well, there you go. So I guess I got closer, but that's whatever. Let's take a look at, here's a big matchup, Sunday evening. Seahawks at Packers.
Seahawks at Packers. Ooh, okay.
Seahawks coming off that overtime loss, and Packers coming off that win in Chicago.
I'm going to say the Packers favorite for 5. That's 5.
Yeah, I'm going to say Packers are favorites, and they're in there in Green Bay, so I'm going to say -7.
Okay.
And the line is Green Bay -4, so you won that one. I think it's all the kind of the notable games. The Falcons-Giants game may be fun. I think the Falcons are going to be a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
They're really fun to watch that night. All the other ones, Jets and Colts, that might be okay. Just seeing your luck. But Ravens-Raiders, Dolphins-Jaguars, Rams-Redskins, Titans-Browns, Chargers-Bengals, Cardinals-Bears, Buccaneers-Saints, all those games will be in. I will only watch them if I have a fantasy guy on those teams.
Yeah.
So those are our predictions for the coming week. Keep fingers crossed. My thing is always, I'd rather my real life teams win than fantasy teams win.
I agree.
I had Kelsey, and he did amazing, but he beat the Texans in the process. Yeah. So let's hope that not only can our real life teams win, but our fantasy teams win as well. So we'll see. That is this week's podcast. Thank you for joining us. It's exciting to have football back. It's really nice to have football back on TV, isn't it?
I love it.
It makes the weekend exciting to watch the college games Saturday, watch the NFL games on Sunday and Monday night, keep up with your fantasy teams. It's exciting again. It's my favorite sport to watch by far. And man, there's the plays, the last minute stuff.
Oh yeah.
Super excited to be back. So, that is probably what our week-to-week podcast will look like. We'll kind of do a preview. We'll do how the week's scores turned out. Then we'll do how our fantasy turned out, and we'll do the next week's picks. My dad may come back on. He's really good at picking scores. Be ready for that. He just knows how those guys think. And then throughout this season, we may have some guest stars. We may have some guests come on. Maybe do some more, maybe either prop bets or kind of some fun games and stuff. If we ever do multiple podcasts a week, which you might do, we may do a thing where we kind of it's called a deep dive, where we'll kind of really break down a couple of games. It's kind of generally hitting all of them.
Yeah.
We'll pick like the Cowboys game or the Texans game or another fun game and really kind of break it down and explore it. That's what we have for this week. So if you have Dez in your fantasy, pull him out. Draft someone else. Send some good thoughts and prayers his way. We need him back. So like always, Spencer, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
All right, and we'll see all of y'all next week. Thank you for listening.